All right, the next case to be called is 10-2173, Medina County Bar Association versus John Brooks Cameron. Are you Mr. Porter?
I'm Attorney Bill Steiger. Mr. Porter is ill.
Pardon me?
Mr. Porter is ill.
Oh, okay. Did you check in with the clerk?
Yes, I did, but she didn't put a check mark next to my name.
I don't even see your name.
Yeah, William Steiger.
That's okay.
Second name.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, we'll start with the respondent then.
Madam Chief Justice, Justices of the Court, I wish to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. If it may please the Court, this is not how I would have had my first appearance before this Court if I had my way. I apologize for being here. I've been found to have violated ethics, the rules of ethics 4.2 and 4.3. First, in regards to the 4.2 violation, in essence, the panel found that I spoke to a party that was represented by counsel without permission of the counsel. At this juncture, I'm admitting that violation.
Could you speak up, please?
At this juncture, I'm admitting that violation. I was sued by an expert witness I had hired for a personal injury case. The reason I spoke with the expert was that I felt that we both owed a higher fiduciary duty to our mutual client, the plaintiff. I needed him to stay on as an expert, or I would have had to start over with a new expert. Previously, counsel on my behalf has taken the position that my actions were justified by the official comments to the rules. I am abandoning this defense. Calling the expert was an abysmally bad idea on my behalf. Whereas my reasons for calling truly was to figure out how we were going to continue to work together in the case. However, I should have known that I was sued for dollars and it would take dollars to convince the expert to continue. I fully accept whatever sanction this honorable court feels is appropriate for this transgression.
Well, this case arose out of expert fees, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor.
Isn't it a fee question that you retained an expert in?
Yes, Your Honor.
I think the amount was 7,000.
9,000 altogether,
Pardon
Your Honor.
Pardon me, please?
9,000 altogether, Your Honor.
That been paid?
That was paid in full.
Okay. So there's no money owed to the expert as of
No today. Money owed. Nobody was harmed in this case.
In the course of discussing with the expert the need for him to remain on the case, did you also discuss settling the lawsuit?
Absolutely not. The lawsuit was pending. I needed him to stay on as an expert in case it went to trial, but in reality at that point I was under the assumption settlement negotiations between the tortfeasor and the plaintiff had begun. And it was kind of a chess game at that point in time.
I'm speaking about the lawsuit that the expert witness had filed against you. Did you engage in discussions with him about settling that lawsuit?
Yes, Your Honor. Okay. My discussions were that he would dismiss the lawsuit against me and stay on as an expert.
Thank you.
So, counsel, the recommendation is that what suspended from the practice of law?
That is the recommendation, Your Honor.
For 6 months?
It is, Your Honor.
And you just said to us you will take whatever punishment that this, whatever disciplinary action this court deems appropriate.
Yes, Your Honor.
So are you disagreeing that 6 months is inappropriate?
Your Honor, I would suggest that 6 months is excessively harsh for a violation of Rule 4.2. I was also convicted of violating Rule 3.3. I did not lie to a court. I did not commit that violation. From everything holy in my soul, I will tell you, I am innocent of that. The essence of the finding was that I misrepresented to the court that a settlement agreement was reached between myself and the expert. All I can say is, in my opinion, one was reached. I did not lie to the court. Shortly after the lawsuit was filed by the expert against myself, I called and talked to Michael Wright, the expert. I acknowledge I should not have done that. In this conversation, it was agreed that I would send a $500 payment and make monthly payments to Michael Wright. He agreed to dismiss the lawsuit, and that he would continue work as my expert.
Did that transpire?
I signed the check to be sent out. The check was never cashed. I honestly cannot tell you. I was told by Michael Wright at one time he had a change of address, he had a problem with his mail.
That happened several times.
It happened twice, Your Honor.
Where you sent out a check, it was never cashed.
Your Honor, I honestly believe that the first check was cashed. I was not questioned on that issue.
Wait a minute. You said the first check was cashed?
Your Honor, I was under the honest impression that a check was sent out before the lawsuit was filed. In approximately December 2007. The ledger in my accounting program showed that check was cashed.
Did you check on that with the bank to determine that?
After, nobody asked me about that check. Nobody asked me before the initial hearing. And actually, I did after the hearing. I asked my bookkeeper to check with the bank, and we did not have the checks. I don't have the check today. I honestly can't tell you. I can tell you my ledger showed it was cashed. I can tell you that my ledger balanced. And other than that, I can't answer the question.
All right, so you said that you achieved an agreement with Mr. Wright, and he was going to dismiss the lawsuit.
That's correct.
Did he do that?
No, Your Honor.
So apparently there was no agreement.
I thought there was agreement. And then I really forgot about the lawsuit and moved forward. And then on September 3rd, I got a card. I was going through my mail, and I saw a card that a default hearing was set for this lawsuit. I never got a copy of the default hearing mailed to my office. And it was on September the 3rd, the day before the default hearing, that I called Mr. Wright again. And I had a second conversation with Mr. Wright. The essence of the conversation was that he told me that he had not received my $500 check and that he had gone forward with the lawsuit, and that if I wanted him to dismiss the lawsuit, I needed to send him $2,000 that day. I told him I don't have $2,000 in my general account today. I would need a couple days' time. And we talked back and forth, and I told him I had $700 in my general account at that time, and that I would gladly overnight it to him. The conversation ended with him telling me to send the check. My interpretation of that was that we had reached an agreement. I do personal injury work, and when a defense attorney, a defense adjuster, anyone in the industry says send the check, or a plaintiff's attorney, I should say, says send the check, it means that a settlement has been reached. That was my honest interpretation.
It also was dealing with an attorney, though, were you?
No, Your Honor.
And it's my understanding that what you've represented to us about the content of the conversations and the promises or misunderstandings are not borne out by the expert's recollection of the same conversations. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct, Your Honor.
So it's you say one thing, the other party to the conversation says another thing, and that evidence was put forth to the panel who heard this matter, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
All right.
I would state to this court that it was absolutely illogical for me to have misrepresented to the court. There was a motion set for a default hearing. My associate filed a response requesting 10 days in additional time. This was a request that, in my opinion, automatically would have been granted. Your Honor, following this, pleading being filed, I finally had a discussion with Adam Weber, the attorney for Michael Wright. In this discussion digressed very quickly, honestly, and for that I do apologize. Mr. Weber's position was that, one, no agreement was reached, two, that his client owed the plaintiff no duty whatsoever, and three, that his client would not continue to be an expert in this case, even if he's paid in full. My position was that an agreement had been reached. I fully acknowledged that I talked to his client, and actually, by his own testimony, I apologized to him for doing that at the time.
And do you think that that should have been the end of it?
No, it was wrong for me. I've talked to him, Your Honor.
Well, right, but you said you apologized to him for having done so. And I'm asking you, do you think that should have been the end of it in both parties, you and Mr. Weber and the expert, move on from there?
I guess in my heart I would hope for that, but I accept that it was still wrong for me to have done it and understand. My position, again, was that agreement had been reached, and I honestly, truly believe that in my heart. Two, that the expert owed a fiduciary duty to the plaintiff, to the ultimate client. And three, I needed the expert to stay on as a witness, or I would have lost the benefit of having paid out $9,000 for an expert witness.
You say that you think that there was an agreement in your heart. That's what you believe. Is it confirmed by any follow-up communication or email or any other writing between yourself and the expert and or Mr. Weber?
Your Honor, quite honestly, I don't do email. I've never done email. I'm probably one of the most...
There's no emails or any,
technologically,
any subsequent writing to...
It was the next conversation was on September the 4th, the day after...
These telephone conversations?
Yes, Your Honor.
And there's no writing other than...
No, Your Honor.
The telephone conversations and your recollection and the expert, Mr. Wright's recollection.
There was a difference in the testimony between whether or not there was a follow-up phone call, but there was, when the conversation took place on September the 3rd, it was late in the afternoon, and my first response was to immediately hand write out a check and hand it to the nearest staff member I could find and ask them to run it to the FedEx so that Mr. Wright would have it the next day before the default judgment hearing was due.
And that check was posted?
Yes. There's no dispute that that check was cashed.
And the date on that is in close proximity to the date of your recollection of the phone conversation between yourself and Mr. Wright.
Absolutely. That date was September the 3rd, Your Honor.
And you said that there's no money owed to the expert, Mr. Wright. The $9,000 has been paid or settled and resolved.
Yes, Your Honor.
And the underlying case, has that been resolved as well?
Yes, Your Honor.
And did Mr. Wright testify or offer an opinion in that case?
The case was settled without the necessity of his testimony.
I didn't hear you.
The case was settled without the necessity of his testimony.
Okay. Thank you.
I think I'm running into my rebuttal time.
You are?
Okay. Thank you very much, Your Honors.
Okay. Mr. Steiger.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. I'm Bill Steiger. I represent the Medina County Bar Association. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes. Mr. Cameron comes with us today and offers an apology. This is the first apology we've heard.
Counsel, could I ask you to step forward and speak into the microphone? I'm having a little trouble. Thank you.
This is the first apology that we've heard. As it regards harm to the expert, the panel found that the expert expended at least 7.6 hours on a $6,000 collection case just handling the drive between Dayton and Medina. So to say there was no harm to the expert, I take offense. Getting back to the contracts, the first contract was entered into in 2007. Mr. Cameron agreed to pay on April 2nd of 2007. Failing that for approximately a year, he entered into an agreement where he would pay $500 per month to the expert witness. That expert was never paid. Subsequent to that, and according to Mr. Wright, numerous phone calls which went unreturned to Mr. Cameron, he filed suit on June 30th. For the first time, we heard testimony from Mr. Cameron that there was a conversation occurring on or about July 2nd, when after he'd received notice of the original suit. He claims to have written the $500 check at that time as well. So that would be two checks at this point that are outstanding that have never been cashed and without any reason or any location, nor were they returned. Mr. Wright doesn't recall any conversation between Mr. Cameron and himself until September 3rd. But the real crux of this case is the conversation on September 3rd. On September 3rd, he contacted Mr. Wright, knowing that he was represented by counsel, and continued to make a settlement agreement.
He has pretty much admitted that. And yeah. I would like to know, what is it about this case that led the bar to recommend 6 months suspended? We usually reserve that for more egregious cases, for theft or otherwise. And so what is it about this case that required them to give an actual suspension recommendation?
An actual suspension because on September 3rd, after he made the agreement and he sent a check by overnight mail, he followed up with a telephone call. He knew before he filed his motion to extend that there was no agreement. He then subsequently filed an agreement at about 4:11 p.m. on September 3rd, telling the court that there was an agreement.
Was that check received and cashed?
That check was received. It wasn't cashed because Mr. Wright was uncomfortable. He didn't know what to do with the check. I believe that check was cashed sometime later in September.
Okay. Is it true that Mr. Wright has been paid in full now?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So your basis for upping it is, again, what?
The basis is that when he filed his original motion to extend, he claimed in that extension that we've reached a settlement agreement, but if this person doesn't dismiss the case, then I need 10 days to answer. Counsel for the plaintiff responded after the motion was granted, which was automatic. He responded with a motion to reconsider. Mr. Cameron then filed a motion with an affidavit purporting to have all these agreements, and he continued after he knew at that point there was no agreement. He refused to correct that entry with the court.
So that's the basis of suspension.
Yes, in Spiros, which is a similar case where an attorney filed a false affidavit, that case was mitigated because the court, that person was suffering from mental illness, which has not been alleged in this case. Also, he had a complete confession. That case was settled on, that case was completely consented.
So there's no filing in the court that's false in this case, is there? There's just a one person interpretation that your panel chose not to believe.
Well, we've had other statements from Mr. Cameron that discredit his own testimony.
Okay, so you come down to, you don't believe him, the panel didn't believe him, but there's nothing that was represented to the court that was false as in the other case?
That would be the crux of the false statements, yes.
Okay.
The additional false statements may be that the issues of the checks. He's admitted to having a secretary or a bookkeeper, some third party, go through his checks. He states he's the only person that writes checks. His testimony was, I've written this check for $500 even though I made the agreement in June of 2007, I think I wrote it sometime in December of 2007 or January 2008, it was marked on my ledger as cashed, yet when he produced a ledger to disciplinary counsel, or rather to the grievance committee, that statement said, that statement, no reference at all to the $500 check. Additionally, there's another $500 check. And if we were to believe his statement about the June 30th contract that he made with Mr. Wright, there would have been additional checks. He would have paid one for July, should have paid one for August, presumably September. So arguably two, possibly three checks should have been outstanding in addition to the missing check in 2007.
So you're saying that had there been an agreement, you would have seen a paper trail of checks that would have reflected the content of the agreement, which was the basis for the filing for continuance in the trial court?
Yes.
And there are no checks?
There are no checks.
Evidence that there was an agreement?
No. In fact, he didn't even produce a register or any kind of evidence that he even wrote a check, the missing checks.
But he never represented that he paid those additional checks that you said should have been paid.
He represented he paid a 2007 check and a 2008 check, correct? Okay. I'll reserve the balance of my time.
Counsel, there is no rebuttal.
Oh, okay. Then I'll withdraw.
Okay. Mr. Cameron?
Your Honor, just really quickly. The ledger that was produced, that was referred to, was the ledger that I gave my client when the case settled. I did not charge my client for the one $500 check that I thought had been cashed, simply because by that time I knew there was a dispute with the expert, and I paid the expert, in my opinion, twice. And I was not going to pass having paid an expert twice onto my client. That would have been unethical. I was never asked to produce the ledger, my general ledger, accounting ledger for my office. The ledger that was produced was the ledger that was given to the client at the along with the settlement statement. And that's why the $500 check didn't show up.
But Mr. Cameron, wasn't the idea to show that you had evidence that there was an agreement? In other words, if you said in your statement, and you've said it here, that the agreement was you would pay $500 a month, that was the agreement, the case would be dismissed, that there should be some evidence that you actually followed through with that and made the payments in July, August, and September. As counsel said, there would have been at least three checks to show that you, in fact, followed through with your agreement. And we heard here that there are no checks that were presented to disciplinary counsel.
Your Honor, if I may, the agreement was made, the original agreement between the expert and myself was made sometime after July the 2nd, after it was filed, and it was my belief that a check was written in August. I fully acknowledged that that check was never cashed, and I cannot explain where that check went to. I know I wrote it. I know it was not cashed. But the real crux of the representation made on September the 4th was that an agreement was reached on September the 3rd, and there is a check for $700 that confirms that agreement. The $700 check that was written on September 3rd, nobody disputes, was sent, was cashed. Your Honor, I sent a letter out on September the 11th, shortly after this all happened, to opposing counsel, clearly delineating my position on this and asking opposing counsel, if he differed, to please send me a response in writing. My position, this was long before a grievance was filed, my position has not changed.
Did you follow up with subsequent monthly payments pursuant to the alleged agreement?
Your Honor, by the time that the subsequent monthly payments were due, we were already in battle. The default judgment hearing was going back and forth, and there was absolutely no reason to send out subsequent payments. They would not have been accepted. Your Honors, all I can tell you is, from the bottom of my heart, I did not lie. I will accept whatever sanction you give me, but I would ask that if there is a sanction, that it be, if there be any suspension, it be stayed. I will accept whatever conditions that this court would put on staying a suspension. but I apologize for what I did wrong. I'm truly sorry.
Are you a sole practitioner?
Yes, Your Honor. I have one associate.
One associate?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Cameron. Gentlemen, we will take the matter under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision.